Happy, what do we call this day? Spring Forward Day. I think if you're here, you did it right. Your clocks are locked in well, so congratulations. I've got two things working against me today. I've got daylight savings time and then gym night last night. So please pray for me. The Lord is good, and we're going to look at that today. But yeah, I don't know if I would try this often. I don't know if I would do spring forward and gym night right before a lesson. But if I fall over, that's what happened to me. All right, so good to see everyone today. We'll get started. Thank you, Wayne, for taking us through some minor prophets most recently. And we're going to pick back up with where we left off, I think in June or July of last summer, as we work through what we're calling Theology 101, working through the Wayne Grudem book, Christian Beliefs. We are going to pick up in chapter 2 where we left off. We're talking about the attributes of God, answering the question, what is God like? So I thought it would be good before we get into the next attribute if we reflected and kind of look back to see where we've been so far. Yes and yes. All right, so if you recall, we started off with chapter 1, which related to bibliology. Of course, that's the study of God's Word. And we looked at several aspects under that. Talked about the authority of Scripture, which, of course, is contained within, as we recognize this is God Himself talking to us in His Word. We also looked at the clarity of Scripture, which we said the overall message of God's Word is clear, and it can be understood. The other word for this is perspicuity. And yes, there are challenging portions of Scripture, but as we've seen, as Pastor has launched us into Revelation, we are still encouraged to look and learn, right? Blessed is the one who looks into these things. We also looked at the sufficiency of Scripture, where it gives us what we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 says that. We also talked about the necessity of Scripture. We know the importance of Scripture in our lives. Jesus himself said, a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then we talked a little bit about the canon of Scripture, how we feel confident that what we have in our Bibles today is what God intended for us to have. And it didn't become canonized because a bunch of people said so. It's when God speaks, that is what makes it canon. That is God's Word. And over time, we've got the solid Old Testament, which the Jews have agreed upon for thousands of years. And then we've got our New Testament solidified early, finished off roughly around 96 AD. We hopped into chapter 2, what we call theology proper, the study of God. And we mentioned several aspects. We got through several. I know I took a... Gordy, should I do anything with this mic? Okay. Let's try that. Is that better? Okay. Yeah, I know. Well, we just figured out the key to having the wire loose, right? So we're going to get this thing mastered. So theology proper, God exists eternally. I know I had a very ambitious plan going into this where I said I'm going to try to work on two or three of these attributes every week. Sometimes that worked. Sometimes we had to go down to one per week. So we're making our way through these attributes. Next, even though we're going to do one today, next week I have an ambitious plan to get through three. We'll see how that works, okay? We'll see how that works. Maybe you'll fire me after that attempt. But going through some of what we've already been through, God exists eternally, no end, no beginning. God is independent, has freedom, unlike us, dependent on Him, of course, and many times each other. God doesn't have to rely on anyone to do anything. God is knowable. He has made himself known to us through, well, creation, through his word, and through Christ himself. We talked about this idea of God is unchangeable or immutable. And one of the challenges I've asked us to consider is, what attributes of God have meant the most to you? And I know for me, this is one that stands out. In the world of shifting sands and waves, people changing their minds on things, it's so great to have a God we can rely on who is unchangeable. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And we're thankful for that. He does not get involved, of course, with evil, but he is omnipresent. God is spirit, invisible. Jesus says in John, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is also omniscient. That is, he knows all. And we talked about this idea of open theism, you may recall, where there are those who believe, well, God is, he can't see the future. It'll depend on what happens, all right? So he can't see the future, and that's open theism. We reject that. God is wise, the source of all wisdom. And thankfully, in his word, which is full of wisdom, we've got books focused in on wisdom there in the Old Testament, which is a blessing. God is truthful. And for me, this is maybe the partner attribute of God that I'm so thankful for, that he is the source of all truth. And then we finished up with the very important attribute of God, that he is love. And we talked about four different types of love. Does anybody want to take a crack? Maybe if you can remember one of the four Greek words, there were four different types of love. Does anybody remember any of those? Grant?
Agape.
Agape, all right. That is the best kind of love. It took Flores, okay. Best kind of love, and that's God's form of love, agape love. Lori? Phileo, good. This idea of brotherly love, companionship. Karen?
Eros,
okay, good. That's the, I think, the form of love our world most focuses on, the sensual form of love intended for husband and wife. And then there's one more. This is always a tough one for me to remember, too. 50 extra points if you can think of the last one, which is familial love. Familial love. But there's a word called storge. So phileo, agape, eros, storge. Good. Okay. Well, that was, a five-minute recap of where we've been. So today we're going to look at this idea of God is good. God is good. And this idea of God being good is foundational to our faith, but one of the attributes that can come under question as we walk and sometimes travail through this life. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm wondering if you're like me, you've gone through life and maybe you've questioned this attribute of God. Is he really good? Based upon what I'm going through at any given point in life. And I think it's easy to do. We go through some tough times in life. That's part of God's plan for us. That's part of what it's like living in an evil world. But the question we need to think about is, does that affect who God is at his character in that he is good? And perhaps you've gone through life and been around Christians, and there are certain things we'll say to each other or certain little songs that we'll sing with this attribute. Does anybody think of any of these slogans or songs off the top of their head that talks about God's goodness?
Surely goodness and mercy.
Okay. Can you sing it for us?
Surely goodness.
Well, 50 points for Ben today. Wayne, Jesus loves me, foundational. Again, goes back to God is love, but his love is also evidence of his goodness. Anybody else?
God is good all the time.
Oh, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Okay, there's the slogan. Nice, all right, good. And that's an encouragement. How about the Christian song, God is so good? God is so good, he's so good to me. So those were a couple of a couple of things as I reflected back over my life and being a Christian that we've as Christians been able to encourage each other with. So I think, Aaron, you might have been looking at my notes. I don't know. All right. Okay, so as we've been doing, let's define what this is. And honestly, I struggle with this definition. If you have a way to make this definition better, please share. Because I started with one thing. I shared a little bit about what Grudem shared regarding this definition. You know, because we use this term good quite a bit, don't we? How are you doing? I'm good. Hey, good job today on this or that. Hey, he threw a good pitch. That was a good pitch. So we use this term often, but to try to narrow it down in terms of biblically and God can be a bit of a challenge. So I took what I found from a few different sources. I put it into one definition. I think the driving definition is going to be that first part based upon what we look at in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, all right? That God is benevolent. And when you think about benevolent, you think about somebody who's thinking of others kindly, all right? God is worthy of approval and excellent in character. So try to think about those three aspects when you think about the word good. Anybody else have something else they'd like to add to that definition? Dan? Excellent foreshadowing of things to come. So Dan made the point as he's thinking about this definition of good. He points to Romans 8:28, where that's been probably a familiar verse for many of us going through life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yeah, thank you, Dan. Amen. So Grant made the point that we've got a preview of the end in the book of Revelation, and our trials in this life will come to an end at some point. And so that is an encouragement that we know the end and that God has a plan for even these difficult moments in life. So that's a good reminder. So Eric's making the point that fundamental to our lives as believers, there's this idea of trust or faith. And if we don't have some of these downtimes, right, there's a correlation there, right? So that's a good point, identifying this trust factor as part of the Christian life. And that's what these difficult times allow us to exercise. Right. Mike makes an important point that good does not equal prosperity, even though it's very easy for us to think that, for sure. Yeah, good point. Okay, this idea of God is good something that we can also participate in? Is this a communicable attribute? Remember, that's one of these attributes that we as humans can also display in some fashion. Or is this an attribute only of God? And incommunicable. Good. So Grant says it is communicable, and an example of that would be the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a good answer. And I know I think we delved into this idea last year that it's always qualified, right? God is the perfect of the perfection of these attributes, and we, to some degree, can display these as well. Because at one point, Jesus says, there is none good but God. So we need to recognize he is the perfection of these attributes as well. Okay, so let's dive a little bit deeper. Let's look at God's word to see why we can say God is good. And I've tried to put some categories around this attribute with some of these texts. So what is the scope of his goodness? Well, Psalm 145, verse 9, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. So whether you are saved or unsaved, you are within the scope of God's goodness. And even if you don't recognize him as God, you should say amen, because you are enjoying his goodness, right? There is a verse that says he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. All right, so that's his scope. The invitation to experience, and you're seeing a theme here, with Psalm, the book of Psalms is full of God's goodness, but this is maybe one of the more familiar passages that invites us to experience the goodness of God. Psalm 34, 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." It's the invitation, come. This is something you want to experience. It isn't just, you know, you can see something from a far away, but to taste something, you're actually getting up close to that thing. And that's what we're called to do. And then God's essence and his works. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, "You are good and do good." Because God is the source of goodness, it follows that everything he does is going to be good. And we'll see that play out in an Old Testament example here in a little while. 1 Timothy 4, 4 says, "For everything created by God is good." Remember in Genesis, when God got done creating something, he said what? It is good. It is good. Of course it's going to be good. It's God who's at the wheel here. How about where do we run during difficulties? Wayne, this is a familiar book to you and to us, thanks to you. Nahum 1, verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him." We do well to seek out our Lord, this good God, when we are facing difficulties. How about in his giving? This is echoed in both the Old and the New Testament. Matthew 7, 11 says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to ask him?" Right? I mean, even parents, whether they're believers or not, they're pretty knowledgeable about the importance of giving things that are going to be of benefit to their kids. And how much more is our Heavenly Father doing that? As he, once again, is the source of goodness. Everything from within God that he produces is going to be good, and the gifts that he gives us. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." And as Eric talked about how some of these attributes kind of work together, I see one of my favorite attributes of God mentioned here again, in that he doesn't change. So we can rely on that goodness over and over, even as we go through difficult times, or in this case, things that he gives us that we recognize as a good gift from our Father. Okay, so now we're going to go through one exercise together, answer one question together, then I'm going to ask you all to come up with an answer to a second difficult question. And Dan, you alluded to this earlier, so thank you for that. I think as Christians, we probably have faced some of these questions related to God's goodness at some point in our lives, okay? So let's take a look at how we should think about these biblically. The first question is this: how can God be good when things go badly in my life, all right? Because as Michael pointed out, we like to equate prosperity with goodness. I think that is spot on. But how can God be good when things go badly in my life? Well, Romans 8:28 says this, and I highlighted a couple of key words here. "And we know," there is a certainty there, "that for those who love God, all things work together for what? Good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We've rested on this verse. I'm sure we, as Christians, at some point in our lives have rested on this verse, because we go through things and we are like, "Lord, I don't understand what this is all about. This is so difficult. I cannot get through this. What is going on?" We turn to Romans 8:28 and we say, "Okay, there's a reason for this." That's right. John says, God does not have a bad day. He is sovereign and in control and omnipotent. Yes, so Michael said in Romans 8, there are a lot of bad things happening. So it's nestled very nicely in Romans 8, reminding us that even through these bad things, there is a good God there. Christine, good point. The verse, as Christine notes, does not say all things work together for my good. There is a good that is being worked out that we don't know. But God knows because it's part of his purpose. But at the start of the verse, we can know that that's how it's going to play out, but not necessarily for our good. That's right. Or I should say my individual good, all right? There is good being worked out. Okay, I saw another flora. Right, so going back to what Christine said, we may not feel that immediate benefit in our individual lives, or that, what did you say, Michael? Prosperity? It may not feel like it's a prosperity situation for us, but Grant's noting he does want to produce steadfastness. That's part of what he's working out in our lives, going back to what Eric said about trust and faith. If you didn't have the difficult times, some of these characteristics in our lives that God's trying to work out are not going to be able to be worked out. Ben? What a great, thank you, Ben. Ben's saying that even through sin, which God does not initiate, good comes out of it. And that is a perfect segue. Let's go to Genesis 50. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 50 with me. We're going to look at my favorite Old Testament character. Here toward the end of his life, Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, and we'll begin in verse 15. And many of you are likely familiar with the story of Joseph, who was a father's favorite child, was mistreated by his brothers, sold into slavery. He was unjustly attacked, lied about by Potiphar's wife, spent a long time in jail, was faithful throughout, and was even forgotten by his friends in the prison, the cupbearer and the baker. And so, as you recall, likely toward the end of his life, his brothers reconnect with Joseph. And here at the end of Genesis, verses 15 through 20, and maybe we'll go through verse 21 as well, we see just understanding how God is good impacts Joseph. So verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus be comforted. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So I think, you know, we segued off what Ben shared. Christine, I think this goes to your point. For Joseph, this did not seem good, but there was a greater good at play in this whole situation. And that was, how is God going to work this out? There was a plan to bring his people alive so that they would not starve. And God is glorified in the end. But you see a very interesting distinction. Plans for evil, and yet God overseeing it all is going to use it for good in his purpose and in his time. Yeah, so thank you for acknowledging that, because I like to look at the life of Joseph, and it's hard for me to look at his life and say, oh, there he was in sin, or there he was in sin. But perhaps the strongest indication that he was not perfect was early on with this, maybe, okay, I am a special child of my father's. And then going through the humbling also helped him out as well. So, yeah, thank you. Yes. Right. Yeah, so Mike said Joseph, and I liked how you tied in the communicable aspect of this attribute. Instead of saying, hey, there's evil going on here, be easy for me to return evil for evil, I'm going to do good. I see God has a plan for good, and I want to be in line with that plan. I want to continue on with the goodness here. And that certainly was his plan, his attitude. And so as we look at this here, we see that his understanding of the goodness of God reshaped his outlook. So how does he view things? How does he think about what's going on around him? And not only that, but then how does he respond? It's one thing to think about something, but then it's another thing to act on those thoughts. And are we acting in accordance to how God would want us to act? And we see that played out here in the life of Joseph in Genesis 50. Okay, we've got a few minutes left, so this is your time now. You don't have to break into one table on each side, but maybe at your tables, connect with folks just for a few minutes here. This is another difficult question we get asked from time to time. How can God be good when there is so much evil in this world? How can God be good? So if you could think about this for a couple of minutes, I'd like you to identify, go to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about this? And formulate a response. Maybe between the folks we have in this room, we can come up with a great response to how we would answer this question. So just take a couple minutes now. And again, try to go to God's word and say, this is why we can answer this with confidence. What's left? 1 or 2 minutes left. All right, 20 seconds. We've got about 5 minutes left for Sunday school, so let's see if we can work through and come up with a good answer from the research and conversation you all have been a part of here. So let's start over here on this side of the room. If you've come up with a good response to somebody who asked you this question and would like to share with the group, I don't know, Gordy, we probably don't have a handheld, right? Okay, yeah, no problem. Who'd like to share from this side of the room? John 16:33, Scott shared that in this world you will have tribulation, so there is a promise. We're not going to escape from it in this world, but there's also a promise and a hope at the end of that verse that Jesus has overcome the world. Okay, good scripture. Anybody else on this side of the room? Okay, we'll come back maybe. Middle section here. Would anybody like to share what they came up with? Why is God good when there's so much evil in the world? Okay, if you do have something, I'll come back. And then this side of the room. Thank you, Adam. So Adam made the point that the premise is off here. We should start off with a starting point that God is good. And he took us to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, recognizing that God's on a whole nother plane than we are at with his thoughts and his ways. There's something happening far above and beyond what we can understand. Yes, Mike. So Mike shared that we all are dealing with difficult times, but the solution is found in John 3:16, that God sent his son to die for us. And I'll just kind of dovetail earlier to what Ben said, and maybe some of your groups, sorry if we didn't get to your groups today because we're about at time, but he said that God's not the author of evil. So I think that should also be part of the conversation here too. We brought evil into the world ourselves, okay? So that's why there's a lot of evil in this world, and yet there's a good God working through all of this to accomplish his plan. So I think that is something to keep in mind as well. Okay, thank you for those thoughts. Got to reflect a little bit there, but maybe next week, if you think about this more this week and want to share a testimony or reflections on this attribute of God, certainly welcome that. But I'll leave us with this today. Our charge, going back to this being a communicable attribute, what does Hebrews 6:10 say about this? Anybody have that one at the top of their memory? It says this: let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So it is this idea of doing good is something we should be all about, and it shouldn't be restricted to just those here at Cornerstone or fellow believers. This should be something we, like God, shares with those all around us. So may we be people who pursue this attribute of God. Next week, yeah, you're seeing this correctly. I'm going to try to do something very interesting next week. We'll see how that goes. Maybe I'll have a change of heart middle of my planning this week. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the reality that you are good, and what rest we can take in that. We go through this life, we travail, we have questions, and Lord, forgive us when we question this attribute of yours. Lord, you see the end from the beginning, and we trust that you are working things out for our good and for your glory. And may we ourselves be people who love good and do good and show good to those around us. So we need your help with that. We ask for your help. Bless us now as we head through the morning service. Help us as we praise you in song. Be with our pastor as he opens up your word.